Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joy Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. Today is April the 9th, 2020, and so I wanted to welcome you all here. And today we are going to be talking about kind of a part two for our COVID-19 resilience, the stress resilience talk, and how that's going for everyone, how we can help our athletes and other performers too. I think I just heard, did someone else just come on too? Just join us?
Hi, Dr. Joanne, it's Michelle.
Oh, hi, Michelle, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good. Yeah, glad to have you here, and we've got Emily and George and more people joining us. So just introducing our topic here, and these calls, you know, are always on the second and fourth Thursday of the month, as you know, and so if you want to mark the next one, it'll be April the 23rd. If you want to mark your calendars for that, that'll be good. So, yeah, today, talking about stress resilience and how we can get through tough times. I see this, you know, kind of mark it as like week four of I look at it as BC and AC, kind of, you know, two eras of our life before Corona and after Corona. So we're in that. That was just something I made up. Maybe somebody else has too. It's kind of like two different worlds. What was your life like before Corona and after Corona? We're, you know, in the midst of it here. And so, you know, and so this is kind of week four of the lockdown for all of California anyway. Different people kind of did the shelter-in-place order at different times. And so... Just wanted to check in with all of you about that and give you more tools and more opportunity, for us to just brainstorm and about how to handle all this for ourselves, for our own practices as coaches, and also for our athletes and musicians, other performers you might be working with too. I know, I work with musicians, some of us work with musicians as well as athletes, and, you know, our beloved John Prine just died, you may have heard, just 2 days ago on Tuesday, and he was a really famous, guitar player, musician for in the folk era, and so it was just so sad. I've got to hear him play, actually, at a concert 2 years ago. It's just brought so much music to our lives, John Prine, and you'll probably be hearing a lot of his music on the radio now to, in tribute to him. Yeah, so did someone else just join us, too? I just want to welcome you.
Hi there, it's Dave. Hi, guys.
Oh, Dave, hi, how are you? Yeah, good to see you. Good to hear you. Yeah, so... So I was just introducing our topic here. So, today talking about stress resilience. And, I just wanted to talk about connection. You know, that's a really big topic, how to deepen our connections with clients and how to help them connect with other people at a time when we're supposed to be socially distant. And how do we navigate that? How do we manage that and stay connected, you know, socially connected with people, even though they're physically distant? That's a really tough issue, but it's something we could actually, this time can help us deepen our relationships with people in some ways, I think, if we can be creative about that. And then telehealth coaching, how new law changes can help us as coaches, give you some information about that, and how just ask you how you and your athletes are adapting to this changing environment with the pandemic, you know, lifestyle changes. Maybe this could bring improvements, or sometimes it's really difficult for people, but it could also bring new opportunities for athletes as well. And and then look at, you know, the short term. It's kind of like we were in a short term crisis 1 or 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago when we started this whole thing. And now, you know, as it drags on, you know, what are the long term resilience strategies or long term effects, you know, if people have, you know, devastating things going on in their life? It affects people very differently. Oh, yes. Did someone else just join us too?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. It's Amy.
Oh, hi, Amy. So good to hear you. Wow. Okay, so I just want to, we're just introducing our topic, and then, we'll come back to you and each of you here in just a moment to talk about how you're experiencing this. So, Thank you for joining us. Wow, it's great to have you. So, and then I just, you know, we can talk about the value of phone sessions. I mean, we are, well, as coaches, we have social distance built into our practices if you're doing coaching by phone or by Zoom or Skype. So that's a great thing that we can still connect on a deep level with our clients, and you're now more needed than ever, I think, with people not being able to, exercise or to do a regular training. So that's important to realize how we can connect with people. And even like Michelle, you said last time, even if you don't have a lot of clients right now, you could reach out to your older clients or previous clients and just see how they're doing and just check in and offer, you know, a little bit of support to them, you know, on a complimentary basis. And they may want to continue to use your services. And then, you know, just hope. I think we're all in need of hope right now because this whole thing is so uncertain and so much anxiety, and how you can provide hope and encouragement, lift spirits in these times. Even if we sometimes don't feel like we have hope ourselves, we can just by serving others, and I think we can provide a sense of hope for other people. Even in the uncertainty that, you know, just knowing that this is temporary and that we don't know how long it's going to go on, but we can all get through this together, and also that sense of that we can all come through this stronger as a group, as people, as friends, as a world, because this is one of the few things we've experienced in our life where we're all going through this together in the entire world. You know, isolation is one thing. It's one thing to be, usually we think of isolation as being, we're left out of a group. Everybody else is having a good time, but we're isolating. But this is a different thing where we're all isolating together. So in some ways, we have this one thing in common. Yeah, and then just talking about emotional effects on, you know, with our athletes, school closures and, you know, the Olympics being postponed, sports events canceled, and how athletes can handle that and how they can look forward to next year, to next season. And then just some do's and don'ts to keep your athletes emotionally stable. Some people are really isolated, and, you know, there can be suicidal thoughts or depression, and it's important to assess for that and show people how they can stay connected, how people can adapt their workouts and track and school facilities when they're closed, and, you know, being cooped up at home and how to create a new routine. So, all things, good things that we can talk about here. So first thing, I just wanted to congratulate Emily for she has just gotten certified here, and I'm so excited for you, Emily. Congratulations. Are you there?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. And you, how have you found the course helpful? And then we've got George, who's new here, and Dave, who's relatively new. And other people who've been in the Michelle, who's been in the program for a long time, and Amy's been in the course for a long time too. And can you just say a word or two about what you plan to do, or how the course has been helpful, or what you want to do with it?
Yeah, so I was drawn to the course because of the visualization component. It's something that I used as an athlete and had great results with, and I always wanted to get trained in it in a more professional way. I own my own fitness company, and so I do a lot of physical training with athletes, and I really wanted to get more into the emotional side of things. So I am looking to work with college athletes, both individuals and teams. I'm going to start here in New England first because that's where I'm based, and then hopefully get my feet wet a little bit, gain some traction, and then be able to move on. But what I've loved most about this course, for me, I'm a real hands-on learner. So the practical stuff, anytime I got the chance to take some insights from a phone call or from a module that was shared and then put that into actual use, like creating a visualization, that was really helpful for me. So I love that there is that ability through this course to learn something, but then also practice it in kind of real time.
Great. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Emily. And I'll be sending you your certificate and good to have you on our ongoing trainings here too. And so, yeah, the nice thing about this is you have that ongoing support to, you know, help you be really successful with this. So, yeah, thank you. And, Amy, I just wanted to bring you in because I know you shared something with me. Do you want to talk about your experience with the virus, or share some of that if you could? It might help all of us to understand what's going on.
Sure. I got sick a couple weeks ago, about 15 days ago.
Coronavirus?
Yeah, with coronavirus. I got tested 2 weeks ago today, and it took 10 days to get back. And then I finally got it back on Sunday, and it tested positive. But it didn't surprise me because I had fevers, I had cough, I had, like, upper GI issues. It's pretty miserable.
Did you get to the hospital or just at home?
No, thank God. No, I didn't go to the hospital. But my girls both live in New York, and they came home about 3 weeks ago, and I think that's probably what happened. I think, you know, one of them was probably carrying it, didn't realize it. So then my husband got it first, and then I got it from him. And now our youngest daughter has it. We've all tested positive. And then our other daughter got tested yesterday. So it's been a little bit of a challenge. But I finally woke up yesterday and started to feel a little bit better, which was very encouraging. I feel even better today, but it's just really zaps you. Like you can't do much. It's just exhausting. But I'm really grateful that I didn't have, you know, a horrendous case where, you know, you're in the hospital. So I'm very grateful that I'm starting to turn the corner.
Wow.
But it plays with your head. It's really, really scary because you just don't know, you know, when you've got fevers and you're coughing and you're nauseous, you just don't know what's going to happen. And it's the fear of the unknown. And then I totally stopped watching the news because it was freaking me out, you know, hearing everybody dying every day. And, you know, it's just a real emotional thing to go through, plus the physical part, you know. So together, it's really overwhelming.
Yeah, it just really hit close to home that you've been in our program. You and Michelle have been some of the longest people in the program here, about, what, 4 years or 5 years, something like that?
I think more, yep.
Yeah, six. Yeah, geez, it's been such a wonderful thing to have you as part of the group. And can you share any insights as to or tips for people that have this, or how to get through it, or for us as coaches too, how to help people get through this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing is to really, really cement in a positive mindset, because once you start going down that dark hole and you start thinking, oh, what if this happens and what if this happens, it just puts more stress on you and it's not good for your health. So, you know, to just try to stay in an upbeat, more positive frame of mind. I mean, it's not easy when you're feeling so low, but you really have to work on your mental strength and just, you know, work in tiny little increments. You know, today feels a little better. I can do this. I know I'm going to get through it, you know, just to keep reassuring yourself. And I was doing some meditations from 10% Happier, which were really helping me, you know, just like doing little affirmations. You know, I'm breathing in health, I'm breathing out strength, it's okay to embrace the fear, you know, just listening to stuff like that and just trying to keep yourself, you know, up there as much as as much as you can. You got to just fight. You just got to keep fighting those thoughts that are frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you're smart to turn off the news because it just can, it's almost like another virus itself, that negative stuff out there.
Well,
right?
And that's all they talk about. You know, they're not talking about all the people that are battling it and coming out of it. They're only talking about everybody who's dying every day. And, you know, when you have it, it's the first time that you have zero control. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody can tell you what your course is. And that's frightening. You know, nobody, you can't take anything. You can take Tylenol if you have a fever, but that's it. Nobody knows anything. And so
yeah,
you just have to kind of battle through. You've got to, I mean, I think this was one of the situations where I really had to use, I think my training as a life coach and a wellness coach and a sports psychology coach has helped me, because if I didn't have any of that, I think it would have been really tough mentally.
Yeah, wow. It's so good that you've had that all these years, your training in this program and then on your own, sports psychology, and tennis and all, too, just to be able to use that meditation, visualization, that kind of thing, right?
Yep, that's really helpful. So, I mean, really all the skills that you've taught us and just, you know, being resilient and knowing that tomorrow's going to be better than today and really concentrating on hope. And I know I'm going to get through this. I know it's going to happen. I know I'm going to get there. People are much worse off than me. I can do this. I can fight. I'm going to be okay. You know, I just, you know, like those kind of things I have to keep saying to myself.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And just keep looking forward, right? Moving forward, like you say, small steps, and looking for any kind of progress, or even if there isn't progress, you can visualize progress, right?
Right, and thinking that, look, I've done this for 7 days. Well, actually, the second week, and that's a little scary because everybody says the second week is the worst, and it really is. That's when things really get, you know, heated up. So now that I'm through the second week, I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, wow. It's great. Yeah, it's like we're all in this big experiment where it's brand new and people don't know anything. It's like we're on our own, right?
Yeah, it really, that's why it's so unsettling, because there's no normal course. Some people have it for 3 weeks. Some people, you know, are okay, and look what happened to Boris Johnson, where, you know, he had it, and now he's in the ICU. You know, you don't know what's going to happen to you, so it's really hard to fight off those mental demons when you're in the middle of it and feeling awful.
Yeah, exactly, and you had it at the same time, your husband had it too, and how can you just talk about the relationship stuff? How does that work when you're in the house with somebody else that has coronavirus?
Well, I was really worried about him, but like he and I both tend to get like this bronchial thing, so that's what I thought he had. It started with a cold, and then he started coughing, and he kept talking to the doctor, and he didn't think it was that, and he didn't seem that sick. But, you know, he wasn't feeling great for a couple days. But I think I caught it from him, from all of his coughing. And that's why I had a worse case, because that's more powerful when you're, you know, ingesting the coughing of somebody who's got it. And then I started to go downhill after that. So, I mean, it worked out because I was worried about him, and then he started to do better, and then he was very worried about me. And it's been, you know, amazing. Plus, he's home working every day and, you know, walking the dogs and, like, helping me. I mean, and my kids are really helpful, too. But now Lucy has it, so she's a little under the weather. But it's just, you know, I'm kind of glad that we're all getting this at somewhat the same time. We're going to develop the antibodies, and then we don't really, once we get past this, we don't really have to worry about it for a bit. I mean, because everybody else who hasn't had it, you know, it's going to come back again probably, and it's just spreading so fast, it's hard to to know if you're going to get it or not.
Yeah, right. So thanks for sharing all of that, Amy. I'm so glad you're on the call here. It really brings it home
really
to all of us.
Yeah, I'm really glad I got on it. I'm feeling better now that I could be on a call.
Yeah, you can share with us, and we can all kind of feel it can help you to to share your experience and help all of us to feel like with you're part of our group here, a long-term group.
I mean, I hope
like
that's helpful in case anybody does get it, just to kind of know from somebody who's experienced it for the last 2 weeks what it is involved in it and what my course was. That doesn't mean, you know, if God forbid you get it, that would be your course, but that was my experience. And one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me, for sure.
Yeah, because it's a respiratory kind of illness, and it brings, it attacks the lungs, and here we are all athletes and working with athletes who depend on our lungs. It makes, it brings that whole, and we teach breathing to people, right, with our visualization process, and brings home the importance of just how grateful we are that we can all breathe and how important that is to work on our, to keep our lungs healthy, right? So, yeah, thank you, Amy, for sharing that. Wow. And,
sure, it's my pleasure. I'm glad I'm on the call. Thanks, Dr. Joanne.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Anyone else want to share any experience that you've had with or response to Amy or any questions that you have? We can go ahead. I'll present some, just want to present a little bit of material here, and then we can come back to, want to get all your reactions to, and how you're handling this, and, and some tips and all of that, too, and other topics, too. And with the coronavirus, we forget that there's other things, that life goes on and that we have lots of things to work with, to deal with here. And so, I just wanted to kind of talk about motivation a bit, how to help you and help athletes to stay motivated and connected during this coronavirus pandemic, and keeping yourself on track as much as possible, and being able to stay safe and well and focused. And so there's, many areas that we're dealing with here, with the stress response. We're all going, there's a lot of stress from not being able to do your sport, of course, but also, with athletes, for the most part, whether it's a team sport or individual sport, we're usually working out with other people, and there's that getting together, that camaraderie that a lot of athletes are missing, just being together. I know I belong to an all-women's racing team called the Impalas Racing, and we always get together once a week. It's been going on for 30 years now, and now it's, I think it's one of the hardest things we've all had to do, and being told not to work out together. Fortunately, with an individual sport like running or swimming or cycling or triathlons, athletes can still work out on their own and still do those sports. So if you have athletes that have an individual sport, it's good to encourage, athletes to continue working out and find new ways to do that if you can. Like for myself, of course, all the pools are closed. I live in the Bay Area here, where there's ocean and water in the San Francisco Bay. And so I purchased a wetsuit right before everything closed down. That was one of the best purchases I made, best investments, because as well as a neoprene cap, neoprene gloves, neoprene booties, because the water's cold. But and I've gotten in the bay now 4 times, and in cold water, 55-degree water, and doing my swimming there. At first it was really difficult, but now I've found it's really kind of it's almost like a spiritual practice. It's wonderful being able to swim in open water, and so it's created, and other people from my gym are also doing that too, so even though we're socially distant, can meet at a bay, you know, at the bay and go swimming and still have that experience together. And that's something I would have never thought of doing if the pools, nice warm pools are open. So, you know, just thinking of different ways that you can be creative, and with races being canceled all over the world due to the COVID-19, and, you know, it can be tough to stay motivated with your training. But at times like this, you know, I'm talking about athletes that are well and haven't, it's really important to keep our immune system strong. And to stay motivated so that you don't get the coronavirus. You can avoid that if possible. Or for athletes who have had it and then recover, they can still resume training. And it's not, and nobody knows, you know, when the racing might resume, so it's not uncommon for your motivation to take a nosedive. So we're all looking for innovative ways to work out from home, or trying to balance work and homeschooling, and being able to, yes, students doing studies at home now. It's easy to kind of let the daily training drop off, but I think I wanted to give you some tips for kind of keeping that fire alive. And to try to keep some sort of routine, even though our routines are totally off, you know, being off, you know, taken off track now, there's some way that you can, if there's a way that you can keep your athletes to say, you know, doing some sort of exercise first thing in the morning, even if it's not at the regular gym or regular group workout. So one way is to thinking of athletes, I've been telling athletes to kind of, you can be able to kind of set up your own races as best you can at home, you know, quote races, meaning some kind of competition with yourself. You can't maybe compete with other people right now, but you could say, you know, don't let the season just waste away. You can still... you know, you can still have a day-to-day quest, and because we don't know when races will resume again, so it's important to keep yourself strong. And of course, it helps so much with mental strength and just feeling good. We all know that endorphin high that you get from working out on any level. And so, if you're say your race or your games are far in the future or they're just unknowns, you know, you can try plotting out a course on your home turf, and then just see where you're at. You set a, you know, like if you're running, you could set do a warm up somewhere, set a starting line, and set you know, say a, you could even plot out a 1 or 2 or 3 mile course, you know, measure it with your car, or just to, it doesn't matter what the exact distance is, but just if you always start in the same place, turn on your watch and see how, you know, do a time trial and see if you can match that or beat that even by a couple of seconds, you know, do it once a week or a couple times a week, then you'll be able to kind of race with yourself that way. And so that's one thing you can do to encourage athletes to think of it as setting up your own races or your own competition at home or within your close by. And then if you, let's say you're a triathlete, you could even think about setting up transition zones, and you could do it if you can swim, you know, if there's a place you can swim in the ocean or the bay, you know, do a quick swim, or if you can't swim, just start with the bicycle ride and do a bike ride and then come back and do a quick run. That's how triathletes train. if you're doing a longer workout, you can set up a little aid station or come home or in your car, you can come back and make that your aid station with being able to refuel. So those are some ideas. And then you could do like suggest to people different, workouts where you can do things at home. If you have a stretch cord, most people have those where you can order them online, a stretch cord or a TRX suspension training cords. Those are really good. And, you loop that around something, a tree, and then do, 20 butterfly pulls, where you're pulling yourself up. And then do some jumps, get a box or something, or it could be a coffee table where you're stepping up on the coffee table up and down for, say, 20 of those, and then go back and forth and do the butterfly pulls, which so you get an arm workout, and then you're doing your stepping up on a box or table. And do a set of those kind of things and do 3 sets. So that's an example of something really simple that people could do, or things like, burpees, do 20 burpees and then 100 jumping jacks and the clam, kind of sidestepping clams and do 3 of those, 3 simple exercises like that, and do them one after the other, and then do 3 sets of those. So simple things like that people could just make up without having to have any equipment, really, or if you do just get a stretch cord. So that can be something simple to do, or you can suggest people go online and just look for, there's something called, HIIT, you've probably heard of. HIIT, which stands for High Intensity Interval Training. There's all kinds of sample workouts for free you can look at online that often don't need any equipment. And so you could ask, have your athletes look at one of those and then do those kind of routines at home or outside. I saw a guy outside my condo here just had a jump rope, and it was just doing jump roping, which is something very simple too. So just setting up your own races that way. And then another suggestion is to kind of think of your why. I know, Amy, you were probably thinking of this as you're going through, why is this happening to me? But also just why do we do our sport? When you can't do your sport or what you are used to doing, it's a good thing to be grateful for it. And write down, take a moment to write a journal about it, write down all your reasons why you started to do your sport to begin with, and write those down and share that with others too, and get on the phone or on a Zoom call with another athlete and just talk about that. It's a perfect time to share what's important about my sport so that you can look forward to being able to do it again and use it as an opportunity to stay focused on what you done staying fit so that you'll be ready when and this is a good time too to we talk about with athletes adversity. When adversity comes in any form, that's the time when you get to see what you're made of. That's the time to dig down deep, and that's the time that separates the champions from others. And so this is adversity like we've never seen before, of course, with everyone dealing with this pandemic. And so that's the time when you can say, okay, how can I manage this within myself? How can I reach out to other people? And how can I, like you were saying, Amy, be able to visualize and keep seeing that I'm getting better, taking small steps forward, just saying I can breathe and breathing in strength. Those kind of visualizations are really, really key. So thinking, being attached to your why is this important it's just, and you can get to those deeper level questions about that. And so it's a time to remember our passion for our sport and be able to, that can help you override a lot and realize I love doing what I'm doing. I can get back to this and I can keep as strong as I can. And athletes who can continue to work out, to be grateful for that. And I remember when I had, had a bicycle accident about 8 years ago, and I all of a sudden I was in the hospital and couldn't. I mean, that was real adversity when I couldn't even move hardly at all, and had to be had to have surgery and almost broke my hip. But turned out I broke my femur bone very close to the hip. Almost had to have hip replacement, but luckily they could do surgery so that. On the femur bone, but still had to be on crutches, no weight bearing whatsoever for 6 to 8 weeks. And so there I was on the floor, I mean, basically not being able to move at all. And I'm thinking now, comparing that, the pandemic here, to that time, I'm thinking at least I can move and go outside and run and swim and bike. And so being grateful for what you what you do have is really important, to be able to stay physically strong and mentally healthy and control the things that you can control. So, so it's good to do that. It's really important to connect with, of course, with other people, athletes, non-athletes, if you know, to reach out to people in whatever way that you can. Like I was thinking with Amy, now that you had the coronavirus and then gotten through it, I mean, gosh, you're can be a spokesperson for how to get through this. Once you've been through something really tough, then you can really create the playbook for how to get through this for other people, athletes and non-athletes. So whenever you have something, same thing when I had that bicycle accident, and I was able to talk about how to others about how to get through tough times, how to get through injury, so you can understand best how to work with this. So, and then it's a good time, too, I think, for athletes to work on your weaknesses. I think that's especially a good thing. Like, oftentimes when we're in the midst of a racing season, we can't really work on maybe things that we aren't so good at, because we might show those weaknesses. But now that we have this downtime, we can get into a mindset, we're all sort of off track, but we can, or you think of it as like now all of a sudden we're in this uncertain off season, it's a time to work on weaknesses, maybe a chance to clean up your form. If you're a runner, a swimmer, a biker, if you're a basketball player, maybe you've got a basket outside the backyard and you can work on, you know, exactly different techniques for your basketball, work on running form, swimming form. If you're lifting weights, as you know, certain proper form, you could work on that. You could work on your mobility, your flexibility, and that might be a weakness. We're all usually overly tight in certain areas, so that could be a weakness. Or maybe and then, of course, strengthen your mental game. And we're all in the mental game together here. And so this can be a time that you could help your athletes strengthen their mental game to be able to work through adversity, work through anything that is difficult. And some questions, I just want to give you a few questions that you could ask your clients to, get to start that conversation with them, things like, to be able to really connect with them on a deeper level. So some things you could ask them, your clients are, we always ask people, how are you? And people just say, fine. But then ask, add one word at the end of that. How are you really in this moment? You know, just adding that word, how are you really, you know, usually forces people to get to a deeper level. So, you know, ask them, how are you really in this moment right now? And you could ask them, what's affecting you right now? So that helps athletes, people to get to a deeper level of what's really going on. Or you could ask, what's on your mind? And how are you feeling it? How are you feeling about it? Whatever's going on in your mind or what's happening. Maybe something happened that week, or maybe they're, you know, everyone these days, if you get a slight cough or anything at all, people are freaking out, thinking, do I have the virus? And so we're overreacting a lot of times, or sometimes it's important to react that way. So asking, how are you feeling about it? Just being there with people, listening, and then ask, what need is behind your feeling? I'll send you these questions too after our call. Ask them, what need is behind your feeling? So, you know, what needs are not being met, or what need is alive right now in you? So asking them to identify the need. You know, for any athletes right now, it's, you know, a kind of a longing for being able to train again, or a longing to be with their friends, a longing for a regular schedule, a structure. And it's good to just listen and be able to have people express that, I think, on a deeper level. And just, you know, spend a lot of time just listening, because when we're listened to, that's when we start our own healing, and that's when we feel affirmed, and we have that need to be heard. So it's really important to have empathy, to listen, you know, without judgment, and just listen to what people are saying, and just hearing their truth. And at first, it's good to just not try to fix them or change things, but just let people talk. You know, like I did with this 14-year-old swimmer I'm working with, and just talking, listening to her pain and frustration with all of a sudden not being able to swim, all the pools are closed, and not being able to go to school, and all of a sudden everything is up in the air. And just hearing that, and just being able to say to the person, I hear you. Yeah, wow. That, and just kind of, without saying their exact words, but saying what you feel. You know, I hear you. I hear how much pain you're in, and reflecting back what you hear them saying. You know, just being able to have people talk about that you can be such a healer for your clients, to be able to ask, you know, how are you feeling? How's your heart? How's your mind? And then if you can listen on a deeper level, you know, not just to the words, but their intonation and, you know, the sorrow behind them. A lot of athletes are really grieving right now, you know, for the loss of their lifestyle. I know that we've talked about that in my running group that I belong to. That's what we're grieving. I mean, people are grieving on many different levels, grieving for maybe their loss of their health. It could be, you know, one athlete, they're just worried her father may be losing his job, and so their whole ability to pay their bills is in question, and so loss of that stability there. And then there's another grieving of just loss of the lifestyle, the freedom we've always had, just to be able to go outside and do whatever we want, to be spontaneous. We're grieving that. So it's important for people you can give athletes space to talk about that. And then talk about the needs, you know, what needs are not being met for them right now. And then once you do that, then you can begin to, you know, it takes a good amount of time to do that. Then you can enter into thinking about what do you want to do about that right now. Let's be creative here. And if you can have the athlete or client tell you what ways can you, let's try to be creative and be resourceful, and what ways can you get those needs met? You know, and, you know, just you could encourage them, just simple small steps, like picking up the phone, taking 15 minutes each day to reach out to a friend. It could be reach out to old friends that you haven't connected with in a long time and just asking, how are you doing? How are you holding up? That's a really good question to connect with people these days, because we're all having to try to hold up in this environment. How are you holding up during this crazy time, during this pandemic? So asking that, and you know, just, that can be a positive action that each person can take. Take 15 minutes a day, try to make it a goal to call one friend each day. And not just texting, because the words, just reading words doesn't do as much as the voice. So you can have people really express themselves. That means so much more. So so those are some kinds of things that you can have athletes do. I have lots of other tips as well, but I want to check in with all of you now. To you can also have athletes reset their goals and think, you know, this is more about the well-being right now, just your whole overall well-being, not just your fitness, but resetting a goal to just work on overall well-being, you know, sleeping well, connecting, talking, being able to look into yourself, and, you know, overall have that meditation time, and eating well, fueling your body, as opposed to some people tend to overdo it with alcohol or junk food or that kind of thing. If during these times, this is a time to really buckle down and be even better to your body than we have before. So so those are some initial things I wanted to tell you. I just want to check in with each of you and see what questions you have or responses or how you're handling this time period or things that you've, and also things that you've done that work that are helping you through this time that you can share for us. So anyone can jump in.
Hi, guys. This is Emily again.
Yeah.
Two things.
Yeah, thanks, Emily. Go ahead.
That have been great. One is, as I said, I own a fitness business, so I've been doing a lot of online workouts through Zoom for my clients, and those have been a fantastic way to keep everybody connected. And then I follow up with a personal Facebook group that just allows all of us to connect with fitness tips, recipes, maybe it's emotional suggestions that I make. But from this new venture that I'm going on, what I've been using the time for personally is to reach out to some coaches and to athletes and just kind of ask them questions, just try to start to develop some interesting content because this is a new field for me. So I'm just kind of conducting interviews, and people are really open to getting on a phone call with you because they have nothing but time, and people really love talking about what they're doing. I found with this one coach the other day, this is the first time in all of his years as a lacrosse coach that he has ever been without a season. So we're talking close to 25 years that he has been without a season. So he spent a good hour with me on the phone just answering questions and sharing his own reflections. He's really trying to use this time to think about seasons of the past and things that he's done well. He's got a little notepad that he keeps of where he kind of puts daily reflections about things that he wants to do differently as they come out of this corona quarantine. So just, you know, that whole concept of connection, I think it's a really great way to connect with some of your, maybe your existing clients or new clients, and not be asking them for anything other than just maybe stories and answers to questions and things that you can use as content once this is all over.
Yeah, that's great. What question, I was just curious, when you do your interviews with, say, coaches or athletes, what questions do you ask them to get things started?
So Yeah, one of the best questions that I asked was, I wanted to really understand what was the biggest challenge facing coaches today, and what is the biggest challenge that this particular coach sees as facing his athlete. And then I also asked the same thing to the athletes. So athletes, what are your biggest challenges? And then what do you think the biggest challenges are facing your coaches? So I kind of want to compare and contrast the two to see if they actually have a sense of empathy for what either their players are going through or what their coaches are going through. So it was interesting. This one coach that I interviewed from Rutgers, he's a good friend of mine, and he said the biggest challenge he faces is that his athletes are not prepared. And what he means by that is that they get recruited as freshmen and they show up and they just haven't done a lot of the training that has been asked for them. And it's pretty evident right away. And they get pretty overwhelmed very quickly and, you know, start to lose their confidence, and they start to sort of spiral out of control. And he felt that if I spoke to his team, that they would also say that their biggest challenge is not feeling prepared, that they can sometimes feel so overwhelmed by the amount of stuff coming to them that it forces them to shut down as opposed to reaching out. And one of the things that I found very interesting is I asked if he felt like there was a need for performance coaching. And he said one of the biggest challenges facing colleges and universities right now is that they are being mandated to help support athletes from an emotional standpoint. And they have staff that does this, but those staff are being inundated with focusing on disciplinary issues. An athlete was caught drinking or using drugs or things like that, that the emotional issues get pushed down the totem pole and don't really get the support that they need. So I found that to be really interesting, and obviously, as I'm venturing into this, of great value for someone like me and what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's great. And of course, the emotional issues is what's behind the drinking problem. And so that's what needs to be dealt with first that would prevent the drinking problems, right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks. Oh, that's great, Emily. Yeah, so you can use the time to do interviews with athletes, coaches, find out what their biggest challenges are, what their stresses are, what they want. And in fact, I have a list of questions I ask people. I'll send all to all of you too that can maybe help. When you ask people questions, yeah, I know. And I want to bring in all the George and Dave too, and Michelle and Amy. Michelle, are you still there? I know you were doing that kind of thing. You said you were reaching out to old clients.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Joanne. I called every single one of my coaches. Oh my God! And that was a good list. And, yeah, they really appreciated it. I just checked in with each and every one of them. I didn't want anything from them other than to just see how they were doing. And then, you know, a couple of them said, oh, well, we'll get in touch when the season gets started again, or we want to bring you in with this team. And so I think it just put me back into their mind. But it was really nice. I mean, a couple coaches said that they really appreciated it, and they, you know, it really caught them off guard. But one thing I started, and I had our first session last week, which I know Emily's new to this, but Amy, this might be of interest to Amy for the States. I work at the university with the volleyball team, and last week I sent the coach a proposal whereby we would get the athletics department, so all the different coaches, different sports, together on a weekly Zoom call, and it would be around sharing of information and collaboration. So we had our first session yesterday, and it was really fun. So we had everybody did a 5-minute check-in, and I sent them beforehand what I wanted them to check in on. And then we had a 30-minute just open discussion, so coaches could then ask the coaches, you know, how they're innovating during this time period, how they're handling their teams and so on, what are their greatest concerns. And from that conversation, we developed topics for the next three sessions. So, for instance, next session, we're going to be talking about innovation and recruiting, because recruiting is a big stressor right now for these varsity coaches. And each four or five coaches will present on that topic and share with the group what they're doing and in this area. And then it's just, you know, it's just sort of like we're creating our own board of directors in a way. So yeah, yesterday was our first session. It was really fun, and it's getting me in with all of, like, 12 other coaches that I've never met before, and hopefully in the future this will lead to working with our teams. So that's what I've been doing.
Great. That sounds fantastic, Michelle. Are you, so with these Zoom sessions, were you just doing complimentary or charging them?
Nope, totally pro bono.
Yeah, well, that's great. I think this is a really good time to be doing that for people. It can make us feel good as coaches when you're, because you're really serving people and serving others, helping others with what we can do. It's just one of the best ways for our own mental health as coaches, feeling like we can do something as this is a time when, you know, some people are pulling back and not wanting to start anything new because of all the uncertainty of what's going on in the world. But yet, if you can serve that, you know, provide something complimentary, then, yeah, when things lighten up and get better, then they'll I'm sure you'll be top on their list. So that is great, Michelle. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Okay.
So glad you're doing that. They're glad you're doing that. And, yeah, with the Zoom calls, you can see people face-to-face and get – and then it's kind of like doing research for you, just like Emily's doing with finding out what their needs are, what they want. So and it positions you as a leader and as someone who can help them, so you'll be top of mind later on. So, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, how about George or Dave or Amy, things that you're doing, I know, Amy, you've been recovering from the coronavirus, which is, I'm so glad that you're recovering. First, I just want to bring in the newer people, George and Dave. Would you like to have any questions or things that you're doing or would like to do through this time?
Sure, Dr. Joanne, this is Dave. So, you know, I'm up in Washington, and my initial response to everything that was happening was just like, it's going to take a few weeks for, you know, things to kind of settle in and for people to really understand, like, how serious it is and how it's going to play out. And so, I'm a contractor, I'm a therapist. My wife lost her job, like, in that first week. So, for me, the routine, how I treat myself, being like healthy myself and then being able to give that back to my clients that's kind of job one in a way. I run like 5 miles a day. Take my little dog with me. You know, I have my routine, and then it's all telemedicine, which I was ramping up to do anyways, but I'm finding that I can use a lot of what we talk about with my existing clients, and that piece around engagement, just reaching out. I carry a little smaller caseload for that very reason. I want to be able to respond in a reasonable timeline and just make sure I'm there for my clients. But just a lot of work on resilience and that anxious feeling that I've had. I sense my clients have it, and kind of the breathing techniques, and I'm just kind of visualizing what my day is going to be like or what the next day is going to be like. And then as far as just reaching out I reached out to one athletic director. I had a little bit of an in there, and she responded back to me. So it's slow going right now. It's not where I thought I'd be as far as you know, the seasons and making contacts with coaches, because that's really going to be when it ends. That's been kind of my reset in my reality, but just really trying to keep a positive attitude with it. And I appreciate everything everyone said on this call. It's very helpful.
Oh, good. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. Yeah, you're in Washington, where the first in the U.S., that's where the outbreak was, in that nursing home at first, where we really learned about this coronavirus. And so you were kind of like at ground zero there, I was thinking of you. And, yeah, it's good to be able to be grateful for the telemedicine, the phone coaching that we can do. And yeah, teaching, you know, we can, it's kind of a dual process. We can work on our own anxiety by helping other people with their anxiety, almost breathing together, you know, as you're telling your clients to take a deep breath in. You could take a deep breath in and take a deep breath out, and like, you know, breathing in strength, that kind of thing. And yeah, this is an important time where we can use all these techniques that we've been talking about in this program, you know, really apply here for tough times, and being able to, yeah, but just, and then keeping, staying healthy, doing your own exercise, whatever level that you can do, it's really important. I'm glad you're doing that, Dave. And yeah, with running, we can always run outside. And swimmers, you know, like I have swimmers I'm working with that can't swim in pools right now, but, and they say they hate running, but now running is all they can do. They're going out to run and now starting to like running. So it is something that when you realize, wow, it's just something I can do outside, you know, be grateful for the freedoms that we do have, that we're allowed to go outside. Some countries don't even allow that at all. You know, you have to stay in your house the whole time. So just being able to go for a walk, if there's a trail, you know, you can get out, if there's any way that you can get out in nature a little bit close by, just hearing birds singing, hear the trees, that can be so refreshing. And just realize that, you know, the birds don't know what's going on. they have no idea about coronavirus. I have all these birds on my deck. They're dying. And for them, it's spring. It's time to nest. I see this one little bird that's pregnant. It's got a huge stomach. They are determined to take over my deck. And I've got these birds. They have plans for my place. Even though it's funny. They decided that my place is where they're going to have their nests, their bird nest, and that they can freeze and die. But, you know, all this other activity is going on, and their life is not stopping, for sure. So it's kind of fun to see what's going on in nature. All the animals out there love it, the fact that we're not traveling and we're not polluting the air. So those are good things, that we can breathe the cleaner air we have right now. So, yeah. So thanks, Dave. George, just want to bring you in too. You're new to the program. What thoughts do you have about what we've been talking about, or what you'd like to do?
So I've enjoyed, like you mentioned, I'm only with the program, what, 4 days now?
Are you? Can you tell people where you are and what kind of athletes
you want
to work
with?
Well,
so right now I'm in Texas, and I was a professional hockey player. Always been intrigued by the mental performance or mental challenges that athletes face. So I actually decided to use this kind of slowdown in the economy and in the environment to actually jumpstart, you know, something that I've been passionate about and thinking about for a number of years. So this, I've actually said, okay, hey, this is a good time for me now to make a change where, you know, other people are dealing with the challenge of change. I decided to actually jumpstart this and kickstart a change in my life and actually take the step towards, you know, you can, as an athlete, I think a lot of us who performed at different levels, you know, have some understanding of the mental concept of the game, but to actually teach it and give that to somebody else is a little bit more challenging. So, I thought that, you know, learning and getting involved in a group and hearing what others had to say would help the ability to ask the right questions to teach it and communicate it a little bit better. So I do appreciate listening to everybody's stories. And, you know, just with my personal life and what I'm doing now with some of the athletes I do continue to work with, as well as the people that work for me, I think the change has really been the hardest thing for those people to understand. The athletes, their tryout season was typically right about now or within the next couple of weeks. So dealing with the fact that all that stuff has been put on hold and the uncertainty of, you know, what their future holds, is a little bit challenging for them. So, you know, the focus has been on what you can actually control. And let's focus on what you control and not worry about the factors that you can't control, right? So, are you continuing to train? Are you continuing to eat right, sleep right, you know, be motivated? And then when it comes to employees, they're obviously have to change the way that they do work and change the way that they communicate. So it's just been focused on how we handle change and how we deal with change and focus on the things that we can control and try and be innovative about, the way that we're currently doing business. So, but looking forward to continue to learn from everybody and hear what everybody has to say.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, George. Welcome to the program here. It shows that during this time when we're all kind of sheltering in place and shut in here to our places, we can that also other people have, like yourself, are thinking, maybe this is something I could do at home, take an online course like this to be able to start something new at a time when it just seems like the whole world is unsettled. And I know, Emily, you thought the same thing, that while this epidemic was going on, you were going full force ahead with the modules and completing the modules of this PECI course and, you know, thinking, wow, this is something I could focus on and get away from all the chaos. Just work on homework assignments and it can be a calming thing, right? So that's a good thing and some athletes might be thinking that too, how can I work on something here myself that's outside of the group environment, work on certain skills. Also with this program, we work with athletes, any kind of performers. So if you work with business people, you might be working with musicians. I know I'm a musician myself. I play guitar and flute. And so for musicians, you can be working on something yourself. Musicians can hunker down and can really work on their weaknesses or work on their form and work on creating new music, writing about the tough times that people are having. Also writers can write things, and you can do that yourself even if you're not a professional writer. You can write different things that people can benefit from, inspirational things at this time. I heard one musician wrote a song about, I got the Corona Blues, the coronavirus blues, a blues song. There's funny comedians. If you look up, there's a song by called We Will All Go Together When We Go We will all go together when we go by what's his name? It's a funny writer, and he just makes fun of the fact that we talks about there will be no misery when the world is a rotisserie. just funny, outrageous stuff that just allows you to laugh a little bit through all this. So some people are writing funny stuff. Some people are writing lighthearted things. I don't know if you heard the Prime Minister of New Zealand. She is such a cool leader, and she said, I'm now declaring that the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy are now declared essential workers. So, you know, people are saying that, you know, we need things like that, the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. We need them more than ever right now. So, you know, people putting a different perspective on this and being able to do, you know, create things. So think about yourself. How can I be, create something, use this time creatively? If you're not really into writing, you know, if your voice is good, you could create some audio stuff, a podcast. I know we have a June in Texas that's doing a podcast, and so you could, you know, talk about your inspiration, tips for people with a podcast. You could do YouTube videos, and because more people are online than ever now, they might as well be watching your content and other people's content. So thinking about that. Yeah. Amy, I know you shared before, to come back to you, since you've experienced this coronavirus firsthand, do you have, coming out of this, do you have thoughts about what you'd like to do or how you could use this with your athletes or people that you're working with?
I think your point about using this situation that I went through as something that I can, you know, kind of pass on to other people and focus on the strengths of resilience and trying to stay motivated and try to stay in a positive mindset, I think I could use that and, you know, maybe reach out to different coaches or athletic directors and say, you know, this is an experience that I've just come through, and it's so tied into all of the important traits that you need to be a strong, resilient athlete. And, you know, I just would like to, you know, kind of put something together for you guys and show you how important and how I was able to come through it because of these psychology traits, you know, and things that I was able to use and dig deep all the tools and strategies that I knew. And, you know, I think that this coronavirus is not going anywhere for a while, and I think that everybody is scared. Everybody's tuned into it. And to be able to tell my story, I think I have a powerful story, you know, tied into being a sports life coach and a sports psychology coach, and, you know, how it affected me and how I was able to use these things to come out of it. And, you know, foreseeing that this isn't going to just stop, and it's probably going to affect a lot of people. And how do you get as well prepared? How do you use these, how do you get yourself really well prepared for something like this?
Yeah, wow, that's great. Amy.
So I think I could use, you know, the power of the story. I mean, I think it's like, what do I have to lose?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's just a really powerful story that you have. And we often, every day, we, you know, turn on the news and we hear about the number of deaths, the number of cases in every state and in our country, in every country. And we're hearing about deaths all the time and people not, how many are in the ICU units, how many are in the hospital. And you've got a story about recovery, you know, conquering this thing. That's the stories we don't hear about. How to get through this and what life can be like on the other side, right?
Right, and how was I able to utilize these strategies that I had? You know, would I have been able to recover and come out of this as well and as strong if I didn't have these? So, you know, very useful resilience tips.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to tell you, Dr. Joanne, that I started doing, and it's helped me tremendously, is I started playing the ukulele, and it's been really, really therapeutic. It's something that I can just, like, kind of forget that I don't feel well and pour myself into, and having something new that I'm learning and, you know, focusing on an instrument that's really fun has really, really helped me recently, so...
Well. Wow, had you played it before, or you started?
No, I actually started taking lessons right before, you know, all this stuff started happening. And then I have been able to do some virtual lessons, but it's just a great outlet for me, and I'm really enjoying it, and it distracts me, and it helps me focus. It gives me, you know, a structure, like, during the day, something that I enjoy doing, something that I'm getting better at. And, you know, you just have to – I think that's the thing with everybody. We're having trouble being so limited. You know, we have to live with so many limitations, and nobody likes it, and you just have to do the best you can.
Yeah, right. So, wow, that's great, Amy. And, yeah, a lot of there's a lot in common between sports and music, and a lot of athletes I found are also musicians in some form. And so it's nice to be able to, when you can't do one thing, sport, you know, switch over to another thing that you can do. They're both kind of right brain type of activities, and both get you, you know, serve the same kind of purpose of, you know, giving you a structure and kind of get you into another world, another way of thinking where you're just totally involved in that one task. That's great that you could do that. I have a friend, they play that instrument, and they have I play the flute and guitar and piano. Yeah, we could jam on the phone. but there's a book called The Daily Ukulele. Have you heard of it? It's kind of a cute name, Daily Ukulele. But
that's cute.
Yeah, where they have just old songs that are in ukulele format. But if you can't play with other people, musicians can. I've done it where I just had my guitar, have a headset on so my hands are free, and then just play to call up a friend and say, hey, let's sing a song together, and just be able to sing on the phone if we can't get together. And harmonizing, you know, being able to sing and harmonizing is anything that studies show that a lot of research shows anything where we're working in time, working together in time with helps us to kind of synchronize our brains, helps with those positive endorphins. So working together in time, you can do that with, you know, playing basketball with someone. And if you can't do that right now, we could do work together in time with singing and playing a song together on the phone with someone, or dancing. You know, I encourage people to put on music, and I just do that, and I dance in my kitchen while I'm making dinner because I'm working in time with the music and moving, any kind of movement. So so that's good, and it's good to have a thank you, Amy, for sharing that. And did we include everyone? Dave and Michelle, Amy, Emily, George. I'm so glad that you're all here. And is there anyone else on the call that we missed? Because I want to make sure I include everyone. Yeah, well, that's great. Does anyone have questions or? Other comments? Because I think this is such a great topic, and wonderful, honored to be able to have all of us here and from different perspectives. Congratulations again, Emily, for getting certified, completing our program here, and congratulations, Amy, for getting through the coronavirus. I think you should get a certificate for that. I guess we don't give certificates, but I think it's a huge certificate. What's that?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Just saying thank you. Yeah, your phone was breaking up a little bit. And congratulations, George, for starting the program here at a time when everyone else is kind of laying back on things. You're moving forward, and that's fantastic. And Dave, you're pretty new to the program too. And congratulations for starting with us, and Michelle for being our long, and Amy, Michelle being our, you know, long, you both have been with the program the longest, and so much to share there. So, yeah, let's just do our, before we finish up, I always like to do our takeaways, and just if you could each share one thing that you learned from this, from our call, or something you could take away, something maybe you could practice or doing during the week, as a little nugget that might have been helpful for you today. So anyone can jump in. What was most meaningful for you? Anyone?
For me, I'm going to take the power of my story and use it in some helpful way.
Yeah, right. That's great. Whatever we have in life, we can use that story, and you can tell it in a unique way that someone who's not had coronavirus could not say those things. You can say it in a really special way. So that's great. Amy, thanks. Other people, let's, anyone can join in here. And what other nuggets did you learn?
It's Michelle here, Dr. Joanne. Yeah,
go ahead, Michelle.
Come on down here.
Sorry?
Hey,
Mommy,
done. Are you
here?
I'm here, yeah. If someone has background noise, you could just press *6 on your phone to mute you so we can hear. And then if you want to talk, press *6 again. Yeah, go ahead, Michelle. Okay, are you there?
Yeah, I really appreciated Amy's share, and I'm really glad that you're recovering, Amy. It must have been terribly scary, and I just really appreciated everyone's share and how what they're doing during these times, and the questions that you proposed, Dr. Joanne. I really like
yeah.
the how are you doing, really. I like
yeah.
that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, adding the really, you know, makes it real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. Okay, and thank you. How about George and Dave and Emily?
This is Emily. I'll go ahead. I loved the why, and I just kind of jotted down a little note that I'm going to create a My Why worksheet for some of my athletes, and I just...
My Why what?
My Why worksheet. So
worksheet, yeah, that's good.
Some of the athletes that I have that are, you know, just struggling to find that connection without their team or their sport, I'm going to send them... just this little My Why worksheet and kind of jot down four questions. My first one was, what do I love about my sport? What drew me to the sport? Highlight of recent success? And what do I hope to achieve through staying with this sport? And I just I liked how you just put it in a positive. You know, I think it's important to keep reminding ourselves that even with all these struggles and all these challenges, that there is a lot of good happening, and there is a lot of good that we can learn from this. So I want to, you know, take that and remind my athletes of that as well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So my why, yeah, kind of questions. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you, Emily. And how about, let's see. Do you want to, if there's some background noise, if people could press *6 on their phone so that we can hear better? I'm not sure who that, where the noise, there we go. Thank you, it's better.
Dr. Joanne, I think that person's moved away from the call and they can't hear you.
Yeah.
They put the phone down.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just finish up real quick here. Sorry, Dave and George, do you want to, any
sure.
Nuggets?
So, Dr. Ryan, this is Dave. So, this piece around resilience and just kind of checking in with yourself daily. Like, I think we talked about that acronym, like hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and you know, kind of how you're feeling that day. And for me, especially with the grief piece, I'm pretty in tune with that. You know, I see about 15 families a week, like over telemedicine, and that is very intense. And so, like, how are you doing today? That's usually what I ask is, like, not really, but I say, how are you doing today? And that really kind of seems to open up the door for a lot of people. So I'm going to take what you said, too, and, you know, try different ways and just be really mindful of that resilience piece. How are we going to get through this together? But giving yourself a little structure every day makes all the difference. That's one of my big takeaways. Just give yourself some purpose each day. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Okay, so resilience, yeah. And say, how are you doing today? And, how are we going to get through this? Yeah, and then, George, are you still there, too? Give a takeaway or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you like to? Any nuggets?
So this was my first phone call, and the main takeaway was I enjoyed the interaction and listening to other people's stories. I did particularly focus on the why. We talk about the why all the time, and you have to have a strong purpose or a strong why to achieve your goals, so it's nice to have a reminder about that, to speak about it. The other thing that I actually found interesting listening to and dealing with was when Amy was talking about the coronavirus and her experience, and she had mentioned, really that there's a fear that sets in from all the outside noise and activity that it's something that you can't control, and that at some point you just kind of got to give in and control the things that you can control and keep your a positive mindset, because it's easy to get negative. So just reminding yourself to think positive, control the things you can, and find ways to focus on other things rather than, what's currently, happening. And then I enjoyed listening to Amy and learning her background about a fitness owner and then what she's doing in the downturn. Emily. The Zoom workouts and finding new ways to kind of connect with people. And then, kind of going through the interview of, the coaches, asking the question and then trying to see if the athlete's perception was the same as the coach's perception on where they might be. So I enjoyed listening to that as well.
Great. Yeah, thanks, George. So, that's good. Focus on what you can control, what you can't control, and that fear, being aware of it. There's a difference between, just acknowledging fear and then fear that is just takes over you. And so I guess it's good to intervene early and often if you notice that fear and that anxiety, to just kind of rate yourself 1 to 10 and then be able to, you can acknowledge it, but then not let it consume you and be able to switch gears and say, okay, what can I do? Maybe switch off the news and switch on some music and start moving and dancing or exercising and figuring out another way to tune in. Be aware of what you're feeling and then be able to, like you say, George, focus on what you can control. What's something I can do that can help me feel good right now? So, great. Yeah, thank you, everyone. And we'll have our next, thank you, Amy, so much for sharing your story, and Michelle for being here, and for Emily and George and Dave, and any others that might be on mute. I think Evan, if he joins us, he might be here, but on that muting Matt if they're traveling. See you guys, and all next time we'll do April the 23rd. Put that on your calendar for our next call here. And if you have any topics you'd like me to cover, feel free to email me for that. And I give you all a big hug, big virtual hug here. great sharing with you. This is one of our best calls, I think. And I like to, with friends, when I'm with them, we do like a virtual hug where you put out your arms like you're going to hug someone, and then you take your arms and you put your arms around yourself, like I'm catching your hug and you're catching my hug. So it's a nice way to just feel a hug that way when we can't hug each other. So great. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Got a fantastic conversation, and we together we'll get through this, and we'll come out of this even stronger as we go through. And it's great to feel like we are all going through this together. So thank you, everyone, for your wonderful stories, and we'll talk to you next time on April the 23rd. So thank you. I'll have the recording up shortly for this and my notes too. Okay, thank you.
It's the same time.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day. Thanks.
Dr. Joanne.
Bye now. Yes?
It's the same time. It's the same time all the time.
Yes, all at the same time. Yeah.
Okay.
Just 9 o'clock
good.
Pacific.
I'll put it down the
and, yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
You.
See you then. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye now.